Turn to Acts chapter 28. I'll be looking at several other verses, and I don't want to take the time to read all of those to you today. I hope that you'll follow up with those as we look at them in the Word of God. Acts chapter 28. Let's begin reading with verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, which simply means they showed them great kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, whom also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Today's a special day for our church. It's the day that we honor our graduates, and I always seek God for a message that I pray will be a help to not only graduates, but to all of us as we go through life. And I'm preaching today on the subject, the journey. The journey. If you read Acts chapter 9 through 28 this week, you will find out that it's really a journal or a diary of the Apostle Paul and the acts that God did through the hands of Paul and the life of the Apostle Paul. Had it not been for journaling that and the Holy Spirit leading him to pin those things down, we would never have the record of his missionary journeys, and we'd never have the record of how life took him in various directions on a journey. Graduates, you have no idea where life will lead you, but wherever life leads you, make sure you're in the will of God, wherever it's at. The will of God can look strange sometimes. It did to the Apostle Paul. He had to be rescued in Damascus. He was stoned at Lystra and left for dead. He was imprisoned at Philippi. You'll read where he was mocked at Athens, where he was exiled in Ephesus, and then shipwrecked in the Mediterranean Sea, but he was always in the will of God. Don't judge the will of God merely by the circumstances that you're in, because you'll face some things in life that if you just look at the circumstance, you'll wonder, where's God at in all of this, and is this really what God wanted? And by the time you get to the 27th chapter, Paul is on his way to Rome. And as he's traveling to Rome, it gives the whole details of each stop of the journey. I've preached on that several times here in the church. But, you know, they came to the fair haven, and Paul was directed by the Holy Spirit to speak to the captain of the ship and say that if you take this journey, much harm will come to the ship and even to our lives. And he bid him not to go, but the owner of the ship was convinced. There was a calm wind, a good wind blowing from the south, and he said, "It's good, go ahead and sail." Wintertime was coming, and after the feast was over, they didn't heed Paul's word, and they start on the journey. It always pays to listen to people that have heard from heaven. I know sometimes you have to try the spirits to see if they be of God, but when God sends somebody to you, you need to heed that cautiously. And they didn't heed it. The Bible even mentions that they didn't listen to Paul. You know, there's a lot of things that you'll hear from this pulpit. It just do you a lot of good if you just listen and heed it. Just do it. It's not to harm you. It's to help you. And they wouldn't listen, so they did come in harm's way. And finally, it got so horrible that they went for days and nights. And of the day, they couldn't see the sun. Of the night, they couldn't see the stars. They couldn't see the moon. And they were tossed to and fro. They took the tackling and threw it overboard. And you know the story. It just got worse. And Paul finally said, listen, I had a visitor in the night. The angel of the Lord came to me and said that if you'll stay on the ship, not a life will be lost. That's good advice. Graduates, don't get out in the world. Stay on the ship. Stay with the Lord. It's a picture of the gospel ship. It's a picture of the family of God. Stay on board. Stay in the center of God's will. He said, stay on board. And after 14 days and 14 nights, they were about to give up. But Paul said, eat some meat. You're going to need some strength. And he ate the meat and blessed the food. And in the middle of all of it, they still couldn't see God. Finally, some of them said, we're jumping overboard. He said to the captain, if they jump overboard, they'll lose their life. Tell them to stay on the ship. Finally, the ship does run ashore. But some made it on boards and some on broken pieces, but they all made it to land safely. None of them lost their life. 276 of them. Paul and 275 others, all of their lives were spared. So now they're in a new place. They're on the Isle of Melita. They've just come out of a shipwreck. And they're on this island of barbarians. Don't get the wrong idea when we use that word. The word barbarian in the Greek simply means they were strangers. They spoke a different language. They couldn't communicate with them. They were different from what they were. They had never seen them before. When you read the word barbarians in the Bible, it's always referring to somebody other than the Greeks. That's what it's referring to. So when they came, these were strangers to them. But now a new day arises. And when the new day arises, they face a couple of things. Number one, these strangers, these barbarians, they welcomed them. Covered with seaweed, smelly, sick, and shipwrecked. But they welcomed them in. They didn't only welcome them, but pay close attention to verse 2. It says they received us every one. They welcomed them all in. This thought struck me. If the world, strangers, can welcome in strangers, why can't the church welcome in sinners? If you're not careful, you can be saved so long that all you'll care about is yourself. And when they welcomed them in, I was thrilled just a few services ago. I try to watch out as best I can. It's hard with all of these masks to recognize everyone. But I saw someone that hadn't been here before, or I hadn't seen them before. And I started inquiring because they were with some of our folks that attend regularly. So therefore, I thought it was a friend of some of them. So when I started inquiring, I found out, no, they met them on the parking lot. And when they met them on the parking lot, they wanted to know which way to go. And they directed them in and said, why don't you sit with us? I thought it was their family or some friends. I better leave this alone. This isn't going over. See, you like your own little world and your own little corner. And I get amazed how many people will say, well, who is this and who is that? And it doesn't offend me when you ask. I realize you can't get all around. But, you know, sometimes you ought to go introduce yourself. do you good. They welcomed them in. And when they welcomed them in, they not only welcomed them, they warmed them. It was cold, but they kindled a fire. They said, these people are cold. They need some help. A cold man always appreciates warmth. A hungry man always appreciates food. A thirsty man always appreciates water. A lonely man always appreciates friendship. I'm telling you, just a little bit of warmth can go a long way. They showed them warmth and kindness. And I think as we reach out to others and show them warmth and kindness, it makes all the difference. We can't just be a church that lives to ourselves. We not only need to show warmth and kindness to our own, but we need to show warmth and kindness to the world. That doesn't mean we agree with sin or go along with sin. But by the way, may I remind you where you came from and where I came from. And may I remind you that we may not have wound up anything like we are had it not been for the grace of God. You could have been in the worst of situations if it wasn't for God's saving grace. And when we show that warmth and that kindness, God always blesses that. God put us together as a family. Great to see Tom and Renee out today. Isn't it great to see? Praise God. She had battled so much and he just had a heart cath and she's had a heart condition. And God, I'm telling you, she is here today because of answered prayer and the miracle power of God is why she is here. And this young couple has been a blessing. Their family. Kids, you're a blessing to your preacher. I love you. I appreciate you. And I thank you for the warmth that you show this family. You've been there for them and you helped them over and over again. I went back to Casey today and Danielle is now bedfast during this next few weeks till July, I believe, is when the baby's due. She's without work and that means their livelihood is impacted. Their livelihood is impacted. Show a little warmth to them. Now, I don't want to mislead you. Our deacons are wonderful. I cannot commend them enough for them reaching out to help others and bless others. But you know, there's some things, it all doesn't just fall on them, and it all doesn't just fall on me. We're a family, it falls on all of us. So when you extend warmth, I'm here to tell you, people never forget that. They never forget that kindness, reaching out in love to people that's in need. They don't overlook those things. A new day arises, but with a new day comes a new devil. See, it's amazing to me that when you read the passage, Paul, he's still a servant in verse 3. In verse 3, the first part of that verse, when you look at it, Paul gathers a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. God just used him to save 275 lives. You don't read where those 275 are throwing wood on the fire. Paul, they should have said, Paul, you sit down, buddy. You saved our life. You take a breather. I'll get the wood. Getting lonely up here this morning. I'll get the wood. Oh no, they let him go ahead and do it anyway. Let him do it till he drops over. I mean, the barbarians built the fire. They didn't strike the fire. They didn't stir the fire. They could have at least added some wood to the fire. Every one of you today, every one of you in this church, you'll either start a fire, you'll stir the fire, or you'll stop the fire. You'll start a fire today inside your heart. I preached on it Wednesday night. You'll start a fire or you'll be stirring the fire. You know what that means? That means when the preacher's up preaching, you're saying, go get him, child. Get him. Go out. I'm going to fan those flames. I'm going to stir that fire. When they're singing, you're saying, praise God for the sake. You're stirring the fire. You're stirring the fire. And listen, if you don't start it and you don't stir it, you know what you're doing? You're stopping it. I'm being as honest as some of you, you need to move. You need to sit somewhere else. You used to have fire, but you sat down beside of some people. I don't know what's going on, but they stopped your fire. Start it, but for heaven's sake, don't stop it. Fan it. Throw some wood on it. I brought some wood today to throw on the fire because I want God to set our church on fire. We need that motherly day. But just as sure as the servant lends a hand, Satan, the snake, will lay hold. New levels, new devils. The snake, if you read it at face value, the snake was there the whole time. It didn't come out until it got hot. The fire of the Holy Ghost will bring the devil out in people. He's there. And you've got to decide in your mind that when the Spirit is stirring your heart and Satan tries to lay hold of what's going on, you just shake him off in Jesus' name and say, the same fire that you're trying to get out of, I'm throwing you back into it. Oh, he hates the fire. He hates the fire. Why do you think hell that was prepared for him is a place of fire? Why do you think that he's cast into the bottomless pit, then the lake of fire? He hates fire. He hates it. So you have to shake him off. I'm taken back. What the devil stole from me. A new day arises. A new devil appears. But then a new door awaits. Some amazing things happen here. If you'll read verses 7 through 9, I'm not going to take time right now. But you'll see that because of Paul's faithfulness to be in the will of God and not question God, that God gave him power to share the word of God in unusual ways. He goes to this one that has bloody flux. They believe that to be some type of a dysentery. They were very sick. And Paul said, I'm not a God like you think I am, but I can tell you who is God. And he laid his hand on them, he healed them. And then they started bringing them from all over the island. You know, when God starts doing things, word gets out. You don't have to have a calling card. You don't have to have a Facebook ad. You don't have to have TV ads. Oh, I'm thankful for all the ways we have of telling others about the goodness of the Lord. But I'm telling you, if God sets this place on fire, you don't have to worry about the word getting out. Sick will come and sinners will come. Seekers will come. It'll happen. When a place is on fire, it don't take it long for the word to spread. There's a mighty display of God's power. And that's exactly what's happening to them. And not only that, God not only gave them power, but look in verse 10 with me, if you will. God also gave them provision in verse 10. Look at the end of that. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. That means every need was supplied. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. I don't know how many times I have to preach this from this pulpit. Because we've got some that still can't seem to grasp it. And if you don't grasp it, you're going to get left behind in this, because we're not changing our mind on this. God put us in a place to supply the necessary needs of others. I don't have one deacon that disagrees with that. Right, gentlemen? Not one deacon. And when I overhear people talking about, well, you shouldn't give that much money. It's not your money. You hear this? It's not your money. It's God's money. And God will always bless when we supply the needs of... Someone say, well, we need to take care of our own. Tell me when we don't. You say, now, wait a minute. That's not... Hey, some of you, a long time before you ever come here, they were doing that. And by the way, as long as I'm here, we'll keep doing that. And we'll keep doing that. I don't ask for pay raises. I don't ask for anything for myself. But I tell you one thing. I don't have any problem telling people there's needs. And when there's needs, I dare you, I challenge you to look at the record of our church ministry and show me where we have ever gone backward. We've gone forward, because the more we give, the more God gives. And the more we take care of God's business, the more God takes care of our business. It's all about meeting the needs and doing what's necessary for others and for the work of God and the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh. Don't worry, I know where I'm going. God will keep not only helping you, but everybody else we can help, and doing all we can for the glory of God. It's not about us. It's about God and His work and His kingdom. And when we find the will of God, we've got to follow the will of God. And when we follow the will of God, we'll fulfill the will of God. And God will be pleased. And God will pour out His blessing over and over and over and over again. I never, ever like to see people leave the church. Never. Never. But some of you, if you keep messing around and talking about stuff that you ought not talk about, and questioning things that you ought not question, I don't want to be cruel. We found out you can get along without me. And by the way, we can get along without you. But we cannot get along without God's blessings. Ever, ever, ever. 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 Queen Elizabeth went to a business merchant years ago, said to the merchant, I need you to go with me. I need your wisdom. I'm taking a trip overseas, and I need your wisdom. You'll be gone for 3 months. He said, my business will go under. I can't afford to be gone for 3 months. She said, I don't know anybody knows more about it than you. I need your wisdom. She said, trust me. Go with me. He made the journey for 3 months. At that time, they couldn't communicate. He had no idea what his business would be. When he got back, he figured his business would be collapsed. It would be over. When he got back, his business had grown. And when he went to the queen, he said the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing. My business grew. And the queen said, I told you, if you take care of our business, we'll take care of your business. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be getting it back from God than getting it back from people. Because God never runs out. And he never regrets what he does. Some of you right now, you're looking confused. Don't worry. I'm just stalling a little bit because some of you, you're catching on right now. It's happening. And what it is I try to preach things in love, but I'm also proactive. And some of you busybodies, I'm here to tell you, we're going to butt heads and you're going to lose. You're going to lose. That's all there is to it. I'm a loving man. I'm a kind man. But when it comes to God's work and God's way, you're going to lose out every single time. Every single time. Don't you see that God has been good to us? Don't you see that God has honored? When we honor God, God honors us. And he does it over and over and over again. Here we are, sitting in the middle of a pandemic. And God just keeps pouring it on and pouring it on and pouring it on. I'm telling you, the journey's a good journey. Come, go along with us. Go along with us. You say, I don't see it that way. Then you go home and you pray and tell God, I'm wrong. Help me see it that way. Here I go again. I've been bombarded since Wednesday night. Can't imagine what this one's going to do. I know why some churches are closing their doors. Bunch of greedy preachers and greedy people that all they care about is me, 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 me. It's not about me. It's him, 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 him. Always. Always.